Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
With over 54,000 Ukrainians already in Ireland, public services in some areas are under severe pressure as the government struggles to accommodate everyone. Now refugees are faced with sheltering at Dublin Airport or in unsuitable emergency accommodation centres, with the state simply unable to provide adequate housing. As the Cabinet Subcommittee meets to discuss the difficulties, we're joined on the line by Labour Party leader and TD for Dublin Bay South, Ivana Bacik. Ivana Bacik, you're very welcome to the programme. I just wonder, when we see, and it's a desperately sad situation, see people who are seeking asylum in this country sleeping rough or sleeping at the floor on the floor at the airport, I wonder, when you step back, was it always going to be inevitable that this may happen for a period of time, given the housing crisis and given the numbers seeking refuge here?
Well, Cormac, clearly there is immense pressure now on the system, and clearly, you know, it's a task of some magnitude to ensure that everyone is accommodated, whether they are refugees from Ukraine fleeing war or others coming here seeking asylum and international protection. And, you know, really what we want to do is ensure that there is a whole of government approach, and we want to ensure that we in opposition can also assist and support this collective effort. So that's why I wrote to the Taoiseach today. I don't think it was predictable we would be in this state. I must say that back in July, I hosted in Leinster House a briefing for all colleagues of government and opposition from the Ukraine Civil Society Forum, a group of NGOs that had come together to call on government to adopt a short and medium and long-term plan in anticipation that the numbers fleeing war would increase. And I think at that point, you know, we should have seen a more concerted attempt by government to ensure that there was planning put in place, that the sort of vacant properties that many of us have been identifying and have been passing on to the government, that those would have been targeted for refurbishment and brought on board.
So you're saying asylum seekers sleeping rough could have been prevented? How? I mean, you're not saying vacant homes would have done it alone, are you?
No, but there are a good deal of vacant properties around the country, including in local authority control and indeed in private ownership, which can be taken on board. And, you know, back in April and May, to be fair, government did seek from opposition a list of properties. We sent, my colleague Senator Rebecca Moynihan wrote back to Minister Dara O'Brien on the 9th of May with a list of properties across the country that we had identified from our own councillors, our own local area reps as being vacant. In my own area, we've been pushing for bringing back into use of Bagot Street Hospital, for example, a big premises that is vacant currently. I've also, even today, been engaging with Minister Roderick O'Gorman's officials about hotels that constituents tell me are vacant, about hostels, indeed about a constituent who's able to provide temporary structures and has offered that.
And why hasn't that happened? Have you got an answer to that? For example, the hospital in Bagot Street, why hasn't that happened to date?
I'm told there, well, look, I think not enough is being done to bring these properties on board. And I do think that it's been unfortunate that we haven't seen a stronger leadership at the centre from the Taoiseach on this. It's very welcome that the party leaders are meeting today. I think there's been a sense, and again, the Civil Society Forum have put this forward, the sense that Minister O'Gorman's department, the Department of Children, Equality, Integration and Youth, that that department has been left holding responsibility. That perhaps it's too much for that department. I think we have to see a stepping up of the other departments, a cross-departmental, cross-governmental approach taken to ensure, for example, that local authorities are really brought in, because they know, local authorities know, local communities know where there is availability of vacant premises. You know, and we can see that there are premises.
But it's not clear to you in terms of concrete reasons as to why certain vacant premises haven't been used to date. It's not clear to you, is it, why that is so?
No, it's not. I mean, I've been told in some cases that that some accommodation isn't suitable. But equally, I have seen even in my own local area accommodation that has been turned around at really impressive speed that certainly nobody would have thought was suitable, and yet we were able to see it refurbished. So I think we can see a huge collective effort can go into this, but I do think we need to see greater leadership from government. And I'm appealing, as an opposition party leader, I'm appealing to government to say we want to help in this collective effort.
What are your ideas then?
The Taoiseach today. Well, as I say, we've put forward a whole series of different properties that are available, that are vacant, private and public ownership, that we'd like to see local authorities engaged in refurbishing. We'd like to see a response as to why particular properties can't be brought on board, and indeed why, for example, we can't see a rapid rollout of modular housing. I've seen very concerning, you know, indications that modular housing is going to be very slow to come on stream. But again, this should have been prepared.
Could that be a planning issue, I wonder? Perhaps it's just too drawn out, the planning process. It isn't quick enough and fast enough to get them in situ in the timescale wanted.
Well, Cormac, here's again an area where the opposition can and should be engaged with, because certainly I would be very happy to facilitate emergency measures to be taken so that we could bring on board properties, we could refurbish properties more swiftly than perhaps in normal the normal planning would require. And I think that
But how could you circumvent the normal planning process?
Well, no, but I think there are ways in which we can see, for example, community centres can be refurbished without the need for a planning process to be gone through. We've seen already huge efforts being made across communities to offer accommodation. And I think, again, just to see some leadership on that from government and some engagement with the opposition, that's really what we're seeking. You know, the local community's response has been amazing across the country. I think there's huge
goodwill there. To change the use of a community centre would also require some planning, wouldn't it?
We've seen it done. We've seen it done without on an emergency basis, on an emergency basis. This isn't accommodation that's suitable long term. But clearly what we need are the short term, medium and long term planning. So, for example, the government are now saying that the facility at Dublin Airport will be very much a short term facility. And equally, I've seen in my own area community centres repurposed for short term emergency accommodation. But clearly we also need to see planning in place for the longer term.
What is your view, a Labour's view, on increasing the €400 monthly payment for people helping asylum seekers?
Well, I think government are right to look at all measures that might be needed to ensure greater incentivisation of accommodation. If that's something that the government have
What's
evidence...
What's your position on that, though?
What's our position? I think it's something that should be looked at along with all the other measures. There's a whole
package
of things.
But do you not have a definitive decision on that, increase the payment or not?
Well, Cormac, we've asked the Taoiseach to engage with us in government. Indeed, this week I've asked that he and the government would provide opposition leaders and spokespersons with a briefing on where the situation is at, what the plans are at.
I understand that, but that's their view. I'm looking for your view on increasing the payment. Yes or no before I move on?
Cormac, I don't think that's the priority, to be honest. I think people have been very good about stepping forward already. I think there's more urgent ways that we can bring measures.
What about paying people? What is your view on paying people to make their vacant homes available?
Again, I think it's something government should look at, but I don't think that's the immediate answer. The immediate answer is to try and ensure that we can repurpose the bigger places, the bigger facilities where there is a large amount of vacant capacity, so that is the easier way and the quicker way to meet the immediate need.
So you don't have a view on that as of yet?
As of yet, no. I think what we need, and again to stress, what we in opposition are looking for is an engagement with government, that they would come to us and tell us what they need and work with us, and that we would then work with communities. As I say, we're doing
it
already.
They might just ask your opinion on these things, but you're not giving me an answer on. I mean, this is what they're grappling with at the moment. Can I ask you about something else which made headlines? The Ukrainian ambassador saying it's simply unacceptable for the Irish state to leave Ukrainian asylum seekers in a situation where they make payments, get on flights in good faith, seeking accommodation or refuge here, fleeing war, and then they have to sleep rough or sleep on an airport floor. Should the Irish state, should the Irish government, in your opinion, be more upfront with Ukrainian migrants and say, look, perhaps Ireland is not the country for you at the moment?
No, I must say I commend the Taoiseach for being very clear that we're not reneging on any legal or moral obligations, that we absolutely accept under the EU Temporary Protection Directive that we are obliged to, and we should morally also be taking in Ukrainian refugees who come here. And I do appreciate the frustration expressed by the ambassador. I think what she's expressing is a frustration because she's looking, I suppose, at the bigger picture. For example, the Czech Republic that's taken in 400,000 refugees from Ukraine, Poland, which has 1.5 million. So I think the numbers here are, we're certainly playing our share.
Isn't it simply unfair? Isn't it simply unfair to these people fleeing war to leave them ignorant of the desperate situation in Ireland and pretend we're fulfilling our moral obligation and our legal obligation to asylum seekers when we are not?
Well, Cormac, I think the reality is we can do this. And I think it's very good to see that there's a will on the part of government to do this and to step up. I think and I hope that this is a temporary blip in the system and that we will see a much more concerted collective effort from government. And again, as I say, I stress in opposition, we want to be part of that and support that to ensure that there will be accommodation for those who come here fleeing war. Well, I think in the next few weeks, I think this is what the will is there to do. If the will is there to do it, it can be done. As I say, we've seen very rapid turnaround and very impressive turnaround in some facilities. We just need to see that effort ramped
up. Let me ask you, do you think it's fair to have migrants fleeing war sleeping in tents in an Irish winter?
I don't, and I hope we can do better than that. But I think that if we look across Europe, we can see that there are ways in which other European countries have accommodated far greater numbers and greater numbers per head of population also, particularly those countries, of course, that are most proximate to Ukraine. I mean, all of us want to see, of course, the war end. I mean, we want to stress that, and we want to see, you know, the Russian invasion come to an end. This is a brutal invasion. We shouldn't forget that either. But these are none of the Ukrainians I've met here want to be here. They want to be back at home and peace, you know, and this is not of their making. So, you know, I think we all need to recall that as well. But I do think that there is a capacity here in Ireland to do this. And I
when you use that word, and you're very careful with your words as a politician and a lawyer, that we have the capacity in Ireland to take in more people fleeing war. I just wonder, do we? Given the housing crisis that we have. And the other thing, have we not taken more Ukrainian migrants in this country per capita now than many other EU countries?
Certainly than some, but if we look again, I give the example of the Czech Republic, 400,000 refugees from Ukraine with a population about double ours. It's about four times per head of population, the numbers that we've seen in Ireland. We've seen in countries outside of the EU, but neighbouring Ukraine, like Moldova, hundreds, you know, again, more than 100,000. So, you know, we're certainly not at the top. In fact, there's some very useful information that anyone who wishes can look at, you know, about the proportionate numbers that are coming in to different European countries. And I should say, I was in Berlin just last weekend, Cormac, at the Party of European Socialist Congress, and heard directly there from Ylva Johansson, who's the EU Commissioner for Home Affairs, who introduced the Temporary Protection Directive on the 4th of March as a matter of EU law, precisely because she wanted to ensure, and across the EU, there was a will to ensure that every country would take a share of Ukrainian refugees, that this was such a threat to Europe's existence, indeed, to European democracy, that every EU country had a duty to step up. Okay. And that's the basis of the Temporary Protection Directive. And I think, again, to commend the government here for, you know, for stepping up.
But
on
you're
that
also
too.
Insisting from the government to get a briefing about the plan that will be in place to get that capacity in place over the next few weeks, as you say. If you get that briefing, if you get a view of the plan and you're not happy that it will deliver the accommodation that will be needed in the next few weeks, will you change your position and say, look, we can't allow migrants to come here in the expectation of adequate housing or accommodation when it's simply not there?
Well, Cormac, as I've said, we have a clear legal and moral obligation under the EU Temporary Protection Directive, and indeed because there's a war on our very doorstep on the border of Europe. So, you know, we are seeing a modern European democracy invaded. We're seeing, you know, bombings of civilian infrastructure.
But if we can't provide accommodation.
So I think we can. I think we have the will to do it, and we have the capacity here. And we've seen it done in other countries with less resources than us.
Labour leader Ivana Bashik, thank you very much indeed for joining us.